James Montgomery Boyce has pointed out that the book of Psalms is incredibly loved, and we know that. And whenever you mention the book of Psalms, inevitably there will be people who will start thinking of particular psalms. There are some that are just so well known, they speak to us. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Right now in this day and age with the pushback hitting us, many have come to understand Psalm 14 as an important psalm for their lives. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And they're just psalms that speak to us. Boyce has pointed out, unfortunately, Psalm 67 hasn't gotten much attention. In fact, commentators rarely spend more than a page or two talking about the psalm. And Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer who wrote five volumes on the book of Psalms, skipped it entirely. And you would think, for so many people not paying attention, it can't be that important a psalm, and you would be wrong. This is an incredibly important psalm. It's one of several in the book that have been named by scholars as missionary psalms. And this may well be the most important and beautiful missionary psalm in the entire book. As he starts off asking for God's blessing, and then he begins looking at asking God to bless and save the world, it's an amazing psalm, mainly because most of the people in Israel didn't think that way. The nation of Israel, having been part of that call of Abraham, tended to look at the world and say, it's us against them. We are the chosen ones of God, and you are not, and you're just do the best you can, but know that you're our enemies. And if it ended there, it would be bad enough, but I want to tell you, folks, the reality is that many Christians have developed the same kind of mentality, us against them. And we label whole blocks of folks, one of those blocks being prisoners, and say that they certainly can't be saved. They can't be touched by God. Well, this psalm stands as a corrective for us. This psalm calls us to remember, ever since Jesus Christ walked out of that empty tomb and ascended to his Father, as believers, we don't have the option of an us against them mentality. As someone has said, we need to start looking at us for them. Us reaching out to, proclaiming the grace of God, praying for, loving. And that's God's call. And we're going to take a look at this incredible psalm that has a refrain that keeps saying, may the peoples praise you. And just in case we don't understand it, he goes on to say, may all the peoples praise you. As we look at this psalm, this beautiful work of God, hear the word of the Lord. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. The psalmist was calling in this passage of scripture for worldwide praise. He's not asking Israel, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He is saying, may everyone praise you. And it's an important truth, and we need to understand that there is a worldwide grace available at the hand of God. And it's not just focused on us, and it's not just focused on the people we like. God has a grace available for people throughout this world, and we need to praise him for that, and we need to be praying for people to come. This missionary psalm challenges us, and I want us to look very quickly at several concepts that we find here that we need to remember. Why should we praise God for a worldwide grace? First of all, God's grace brings the hope of his presence into our lives. God's grace brings the hope of his presence into our lives. The very fact that God is here. Folks, do you know, do you realize we don't have to beg God to show up? We don't have to pray, God, please be with us, because we're never going to have any hope if you're not. God is with us. And for his children, when he shines his face on us, the psalmist had a wish that said, God, make that face shine. It was a plea. God, make yourself known. I know we don't, you know, that whole idea of making your face shine kind of confuses us. But just think about it this way. If the king smiles at you, you're in good shape. And he's saying, smile on us, Lord. Make yourself known among us. Now that's something that we would pray for. We've asked God, bless us and move in us and change us and touch us. But I want you to understand why this is such a high water mark in Israel's theology, in Hebrew faith and doctrine, why this chapter, this psalm, should be read over and over again. Because he's saying, Lord, shine on us so that we can shine on the rest of the world. He's saying, bless us, Lord, and make yourself known so that the peoples of this world will come to know you. He wanted God's blessing on Israel so Israel could bless the world. Sounds remarkably like something, doesn't it? Remember the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis? God says to Abram, get out of your country, leave your father behind, go where I'm going to show you, and I will bless you. And then, and I will make of you a blessing to all the world. That's what Israel was called to do. But she turned, we are chosen by God, into privilege. And said, the rest of you, God doesn't care. In a very telling blog, Rhonda Karam made a point. I have yet to find an instance in Scripture where God blessed a person or group simply for their own sake. While those who are blessed by God certainly benefit, there is always a so that. Now, the exact words may not always appear, but the very nature of God as one who gives good gifts calls for all who receive to also give. When Jesus sent his disciples out, touch this world, go preach the kingdom of God. He said, you have received freely, you need to give freely. And that's what the psalmist is really saying here. It's not just bless me, Lord, and make us feel good. By the way, those of you who are on top of things realize he just kind of paraphrased the Aaronic benediction of number 6 that you've heard me repeat many times as our benediction here. He's paraphrase it, and instead of saying, God bless you, he's saying, God bless us and make his face shine so that the people of the world will come to know you. We need to understand something. We do not have to face this world on our own. God Almighty is ready to walk with us. And the very idea that God would cause his face to shine on us is saying he doesn't turn away from us. He's here for us. He's here to move in our lives. He has invited us into a dynamic journey to walk alongside of him. And that dynamic journey does not... Okay, I'm about to get in trouble. That dynamic journey's end is not this building. It's not just you have a place to come and worship God. The journey says, yes, you gather together. Yes, you worship God. But the journey says, go out there and tell. Go out there and shine. Go out there and let the good news flow through you so all the peoples may bless the Lord. And it's such a powerful idea. I want you to understand something. God's wide mercy is not just for us. God is willing to move his grace to people he loves. It doesn't matter what country they live in, what ethnicity they are, what social status they have, what creed they are, whether or not they're walking on the outside or they're locked up somewhere in a chain. God loves them and wants to save them. And there is not a single place that God will not go with his grace and mercy to call his children into the kingdom of God. We need to understand that. So God's children can experience his presence right now. But please, get out of your mind that God's blessing comes upon us so we can feel good. So we can say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. Wasn't it great at church today? Daniel sang songs I really liked. And Brother Danny had that great little quote, he picked on the people on the other side of the pew for a while. No, the blessing of God comes into our lives. His presence is with us right now to strengthen us for the task he's called us to do, that missionary calling into this world. Our next truth here, God's grace makes salvation possible in a world marked by sin. And I know we think our world is the worst it's ever been. Our generation, this has got to be the worst the world has ever been. May I remind you, God wiped it out with a flood. Maybe we have more people and the extensive acts are more because there are more people. But the world has always been a place that has been marked by sin. And the psalmist knew that. And he declared, though, that God's salvation would come to all nations. Folks, please understand how important that is. If you mark in your Bible, underline this text. Put a star by it. Make a note on your bulletin and then make sure you get this where you get it. This is something that most of Israel would not understand. The psalmist declared that God's grace was about to flow into all the world. And when he says, may all the peoples praise you, and notice there's an S there. He didn't say, may all the people praise you, because he wanted us to know. He wanted his people to know. He's not just talking about Israel. If he said, may all the people praise you, they may have said, yeah, us. We're the people. No, this is everybody, because God wants to move and God wants to bring salvation. And this would have been almost impossible for them to understand apart from the grace of God. God will save Canaanites. God would save Babylonians. We need to understand that and we need to grab this. Because you see, as bad as the world may seem, God still desires to save sinners. And I'm about to, if I haven't gotten in trouble yet, I'm just asking those of you who really love me, make a shield if I need it. Back at 9/11 and ever since, I have heard the song or the call, God bless America, to ring. Now, I love this country. Again, the son of an Air Force sergeant, I actually lived outside of this country. I knew what it was to fly in and be so excited when our plane touched down and we're back home. But folks, we need to look at God Bless America from the light of this psalm. Because what we interpret when we say God bless America, we want God to keep us safe. We want him to make us prosperous. We want him to do things that will make us recapture what we once were. The psalmist here is not saying, God bless Israel alone. He's saying, no, bless us so that what we need to be praying is, Lord, bless your people. Bless us to draw closer to your side. Bless us that we would come to know you more. Bless us so that we can tell the world there's a God who loves, who can forgive, who can change lives, a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of wonder. And so instead of looking just, God do it for us, God do it for us so that your children will shine a message of light and hope to the rest of the world. Folks, my third try to get in trouble. We are not Israel. Yeah. And the people of God here, those who follow Christ, those who are part of the kingdom, grafted into God's plan of Israel, are here to tell others and shine. And that means there are people in places that we have given up on, that God says, I have not. And he continues to move and continues. And we need to be part of that, don't you think? Don't you think that'd be a really good idea? John Corson makes a point. He talks about there are two major bodies of water in Israel. To the north is the Sea of Galilee. It is full of life. It is the sea where the disciples went and caught those fish, just teeming with life. Why? Because the Jordan River flows into her and out of her. It has a good inflow and an outflow. It's just an amazing place. But down at the south, there's the Dead Sea. And except for the possibility, and I've read different articles and different scientists argue and want to debate it, maybe there are some microscopic pieces of life in the Dead Sea, but the general consensus, life as we normally understand it, can't survive in the Dead Sea. Why not? Because all it has is an inflow. There's no way for the water to get out. And so the saline content in the Dead Sea says nothing's going to live here. One of my professors had a picture of him floating in the Dead Sea. And he basically floated by getting in it and lifting his legs. The saline content is so high. And then Corson says, that's often like us. We come to church, people. We hear the Word of God. We do our Bible studies. We pray and we get full and we get just, Lord, you just blessed us today, and we don't do anything with it. And so he says, if you're feeling like the Dead Sea, maybe you're not letting the gospel proceed out of your life. God still saves sinners, and salvation truly can be a reality for those who trust him. And we need to remember that. For anyone who trusts him, God is capable of saving. Not too terribly long ago, one of the most heinous criminals in our country's history died. Charles Manson. His name just strikes fear in people's hearts. I want to throw something out at you. Do you know that Charles Manson had God call out to his heart? Even someone like Charles Manson can get saved. God can save anyone through his grace. And we don't get to pick the ones. I've told some of you before, seven out of 10 airline flights, I get stopped and searched. Yeah. And Jessica says, I think you give off a vibe that you're not going to yell at them. I said, I don't know, maybe I look like an Irish terrorist. Back in the day, I had a little bit more red tinge than the white in my beard. And I was wearing a cap. I don't know what it was, but I would get pulled out. I know that I didn't fit the profile that the whole world is looking at right now. Folks, even the folks that fit the profile, among them are people who one day we will call brother or sister. And we need to understand that. For those who trust in the Lord, it doesn't matter what they've done, because salvation is by grace through faith. And if God gave me what I deserved, it would be an eternity apart from him. This is the amazing truth that God brings. And then finally, God's grace leads, God leads to grace and justice. The psalmist makes this great statement about what God is going to do as he blesses the whole world. And the psalmist knew that grace would be part of God's judgment and guidance. He said, you judge the world with equity. In other words, fairness. And I think what he's pointing at this moment in time is not the last judgment, but out there in the world, God moves and treats people with equity. And there is coming a time, and many people, even though the word Messiah is not used here, many folks look at this as a messianic psalm, and when the Messiah comes in all of his fullness, the peoples of the world will say, God is fair. And God guides, like a shepherd guides his sheep. And this is the God who moves. This is the God who loves. He was going to guide those who would follow as a shepherd guides his sheep. He was going to do this for more than just Israel. There was coming a day when God would move across this world and be the righteous judge, and no one would be able to say he's not fair. The grace of God often leads to a mercy that is no more deserved than grace is. Each person in this building right now, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Every person in this building right now, realizing that God's mercy is God withholding from us what we do deserve, I want you to take just a moment and say, thank you, God, for mercy. This incredible, amazing mercy. The psalmist understood something that most of his people didn't know. God was going to show his mercy to people from all over the world. And that mercy would give them hope. We must understand that God's wide mercy and God's wide grace is not just for us. It is for this whole world. And there is no place that God's mercy will ignore as he moves. So we need to understand this. We need to grab hold of this truth that God is a righteous judge. And on that great and terrible day of the Lord, when judgment will be taken and it will be an eternal destiny kind of judgment, everyone who stands before that God will know that his judgments are right. There won't be any, no excuse can stand before him. But all along the way, God is moving those hearing his spirit and saying yes. That guidance and mercy is real now. Mercy and guiding love can be known at the hands of humanity's judge. I kind of bounce back. Of course, they're two sides of the same coin, but there are times I'm ecstatically happy about the grace of God. And then there are times I'm super ecstatically happy about the mercy of God. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't give me what I deserve. The final truth is that God's grace causes his blessings to flow to his people. The psalmist wraps up this with a recognition of one of God's very practical blessings. It is believed that this psalm was usually sung by the people of Israel during some kind of harvest festival. Because this is the only blessing that he specifically notes for the people. The harvest has come in, and it has been a plenteous harvest. And so the psalmist moves from a wish that may the Lord bless us and may his face shine upon us. I'm not going to give you a whole lot, but I'll just let you know that's optative mood, which is a wish mood. Now he is expressing an assurance. God has shown us his blessing, because the harvest has come. But I still want you to note that he seems to be saying, wherever there is a harvest, God's blessing has come. Not just to Israel. Do you remember Jesus said something? Isn't it amazing how Jesus just knew the Bible really well and knew its principles just really well? Jesus once made a statement, God causes the rain to fall on whom? The just and the unjust. You know, in the world, if we were God, we would have the great weather. And our enemies, if we were God, I wouldn't have sinus issues now, because South Mississippi wouldn't have something in bloom for the last 10 million years. But God says, I'm going to bring the blessing of rain on people who fight me, on people who reject me. Why? Because he still loves his creation. The word never says that God has to be reconciled to us. It says we have to be reconciled to him. And we need to understand this incredible truth that God's harvest comes even to those pagan nations that the psalmist is saying, Lord, bless. And so he prays again for God's blessing. And it reiterates an element of hope. God's universal rule. God is going to do something amazing. God is going to do something with grace. And we need to understand, in a world of pain and struggle, God provides that which is needed by his children. Folks, right now, when, I'm not going to say everybody, but when the world of Christianity in North America says, bless us, Lord, we have tended for the last 40 years or so to understand that to be financial prosperity. We've put out the message, if you just believe in God, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, now, the blessing he talks about is a material blessing, isn't it? But will you notice that behind that, God has blessed with the harvest throughout this whole thing? He's saying, the peoples will come to praise you. So even this material harvest was meant to draw people to God himself. God wants to move way beyond your paycheck or your health issues. The blessings of God are so incredibly important to us. He does bless and he will bless. And sometimes the blessings of God come not in the moment of the height of prosperity, but sometimes in that moment when we have nothing. And God says, I'm still with you and you're not alone. Sometimes instead of, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, we had a miracle and Aunt Susie was healed. Sometimes the blessing of God comes to Aunt Susie and says, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength will come to you in your time of weakness. And you need to trust me. When Aunt Susie doesn't survive, the grace and blessing of God can come upon a family and offer a peace that passes understanding, offers a hope that the world will never get. One of my favorite uncles passed away this week. Uncle Tommy was, he was uncle by marriage, but he and Aunt Nancy passed in 2000. I remember growing up as a kid, I always wanted to be at their house. Those of you who know me will understand this when I tell you, my Uncle Tommy was a man of mischief. His eyebrow would go up, there'd be a twinkle in his eye, and you just, one of my most favorite moments of all memories will carry with me, I hope, till the day I die, is when one of his llamas targeted my sister Kathy. And I asked him, can you train them to do that? And he just grinned. My cousin Miriam, this is the last member of her family. Some of you will remember when my cousin Becky died. The cousin died shortly after Rachel that had been such a help in our lives. My Aunt Nancy died in 2000. Now her dad. And I talked a long time with Miriam the other day, as we are wont to do when these crises come. And she started telling me all the different things that had happened the week before her daddy died, that now she knows God was preparing. A little Bible study from her three-year-old's Bible. A prayer that somebody posted on Facebook. All these things happening. And Miriam told me with great wisdom, I told Bobby that in a few days I may be a basket case. But Danny, right now, I just have the strongest sense of peace. And the blessing of God, I think, is more concerned about that than whether or not I drive a Mercedes-Benz. And God provides the blessing we need. Blessings innumerable are the heritage of those who call upon God. And again, I have to draw you back. This is not about those who call upon God that we would approve of. Very quickly. Iris Blue. First time I ever heard Iris Blue's testimony, I bawled like a baby. Second time I heard Iris Blue's testimony, I bawled like a baby. I'm pretty sure the third time, it was close. Iris Blue grew up in an abusive situation, a tough life to live. She was a big woman. She wanted to be this dainty little lady that everybody would love and cherish. And she was just this big, broad woman who eventually wound up as a prostitute. And Ira said that a young man started coming to her and talking to her about Jesus. And she said what was so amazing about him, he didn't want anything. She was used to people saying things to try to get stuff. And you can tell what she was used to people trying to get. And he just kept telling her about Jesus. And she kept saying, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. And finally she said, one day, this young man, they were having coffee, he looked at her and said, Iris, this is the last time I will ever tell you about Jesus. And he got up and left. And all of a sudden, she was terrified. She had just been thinking, he's going to be around forever, and he's going to, in one of these days. And basically what happened, Iris Blue, convicted by the Spirit of God, on a city street, I believe it was in Houston, on a street corner, by a bar, knelt down and received Christ as her Savior. And this is the part, this got me. It may get me right now, okay? So if I do, okay, just be ready for it. She said, I knelt down a prostitute. And I stood up a lady. God loved that street walk. And the blessings of God came. And her life was changed forever. We are blessed to be a blessing. We have freely received the salvation of God and we need to freely give. And John Corson, I'll end with him. If I'm not looking for people to reach out to, I miss my calling, my purpose, and suddenly my walk is dry. Let us pray. Let this become our Christian mantra. Let all the peoples praise you, Lord. Let us open our eyes to those who need Christ. We have grace to be thankful for, grace to praise God about, and grace to reflect to a world that is hurting. Pray with me. Almighty God, I come to you in the strong name of Jesus, thanking you for who you are. And Father, right now, help us. We spend so much of our lives turning away from the very folks you're trying to send us to. We don't like the way they look. We don't like the way they smell. We don't like what they say. And so, Father, we come up with all sorts of reasons why not to. Please, Almighty God, Holy God, Father God, do to our hearts what you did to the man who wrote this psalm. Help us to see this world as a world that is lost, that desperately needs your grace to move. Father, so shine in our lives that people will come and say things like, what's different about you? Why do you have joy? And give us that opportunity to tell them about who you are. God, make us people who look to the folks of this world who don't know you, and cause us to love them enough to pray for their salvation, enough to shine your light into their darkness. Through Christ, amen.